Of course he didn't. All right, we're live. What Embargo, Book 2, Chapter 10. Yellow Snapper's wondering what I'm doing, but Big Tuna waits for no Blanco. Blanco Tequila is inactive. Yellow Snapper's not smoking. He's indoors.
I got family.
He's got family, man.
I got my sister, brother-in-law, little two-year-old, and then my aunt and uncle here. And I have not been having a cigar for the last 3 days.
It's going to be all right, man. I'm sure Jose's going to call me or like FaceTime message me and say, hey, why aren't we Skyping? And I'll be like, it's Google Hangouts. Got to get them in Google Hangouts.
You sent him the link, right?
He's probably getting Emma or Jasper to help him. The guy's incompetent.
Oh, jeez.
That's Jose. Well,
maybe he's just finishing up his steak and big Idaho potato.
His steak and his big Idaho potato. All these viewers are coming to watch the show. Guys, we're sorry. Jose said he would be on at 9:15. I will screenshot the message I have with him to prove it. We're not bullshitting. He just didn't show up. Who knows what he's doing? As I said to June, he's probably walking along the banks of Newark trying to smoke a cigar in the wind while at the same time get on this call. Overview in Manhattan and the Hudson. So who knows? Who knows with Jose?
Well, how you doing, man? Before hopefully he shows up and he doesn't pull a fucking catfish on us.
So. Exactly. I've been doing well. You know, let's. You know, I posted this earlier. I smoked that Juan Lopez Portugal Chiado 1864 today, and you smoked it.
I have smoked it, but I smoked it
when it came out.
When you sent that to me, which was gosh, when was that? Do you remember?
Last summer. Winter, fall, something. But it was a little young. It was young.
It was young.
Very young.
Because you sent me, I think, three of them. Because I still have two of them in my humidor, and I just remember smoking one of them. But I remember it being really young, and I was like, I'm just going to wait until somebody starts talking about some good things about them, and I'll smoke it. But maybe the time is now.
Now, but they're getting better. I don't know. It's looking back.
Still tastes young?
Yeah, it's still a little super strong, man. It smoked a lot better. Construction's really good. It's just, I don't know, man. It's one of those regionals. It's disappointing. We'd never do it again.
This is probably saying a big statement, but I feel like pretty much every box of Cuban cigars I've gotten that's, new to some extent, time has always helped it to the point where I'm like, these are good. One caveat to that is the Cohiba Maduros. I sold the shit out of that box I had.
Don't you feel guilty for selling Cohiba Maduros, knowing that you think they're shit, knowing that you can sell them because they are Cohibas?
And they're not cheap cigars either. So
no, they're not, man. Cohiba, price.
And I keep thinking, well, let me hold on to the hope that it's going to get better and it's going to get better. And then I'm just like, dude. If I didn't like the first three that I smoked after I got the box, and then if I didn't like the next two that I smoked a couple years after I got the freaking box, there's no hope for this piece of crap. And everybody says that, I think pretty much bar none, everybody says age will not help that cigar. So,
no, age won't help it. I mean, there's nothing that'll help that stick. It's just, no. It's doomed.
Right.
But man, I bet they sell it. I bet they sell so well.
Oh, gosh. I mean, think about when we first got into Cuban cigars. It's like when we look at this Maduro name, we're like, oh, shit, we got to buy some. And it's Cohiba, too. So
that's why when they did the part against Maduro, I was like, wait a minute. Don't fall victim for this.
No.
Do not fall victim. Have you smoked the part against Maduro?
No, I don't want to.
I mean, at least smoke a couple of them or something, man. But, yeah. Don't buy a box. It's just not.
You bought some, right? Like you bought like a fiver. You split a fiver or something like that.
Yeah, I bought a fiver of them when I was in Belgium. Remember that? I think I smoked one there. I smoked one right when I I smoked. That's what I did. I went up to the LCD agent and said, hey, I'm going to smoke this while I'm walking around Antwerp before I had to go to this dinner. Mm-hmm. And the lady was like, oh, it's really good. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I smoked. I was like, this is not.
I heard they taste.
They taste.
Dude, are you, do you have a TV on or something in the background?
I had a baseball game, man. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was.
Turn it off. Dude, I got a baseball game on, man.
I was like, so, I was checking my mic and I was like, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure I don't have anything playing. God forbid if I have any porn playing. Just kidding.
Dude, if you watch porn while doing one embargo, I think I'd love you, man. I think
you lose me as a co-host if that was the case.
No, man. I'm pretty sure. No, I would definitely not. I think it'd be great. Depending on what the porno is, it'd be great. I think it would just add to the discussion and the commentary.
Yeah. Just, you know, straight up a little girl on girl action.
a little straight up girl on girl. So nothing wrong with the classic. What to do? No. So what were we talking about, man? Distracting me.
Cohiba Maduros, or Partagas Maduros, sorry.
Oh, yeah, then we started talking about baseball. Yeah, no, I was watching the Cubs play the Phillies, so the Phillies are losing the Cubs. Suck it.
Oh, so this is something I was going to bring up of what you had up recently on Instagram. The Ramon Ayones, the Italian release. Italia? Did you like that?
Dude, that's such a – no. No, really? I didn't. I don't get why people love it. I don't get it. I hate the bands.
Are you? Oh wow! I'm really surprised to hear that.
I hate everything. I hate everything about it. I really do. It's just this is, you know, this is what I don't get about these Ramon Ayones.
Either I'm really shocked you didn't like it.
No, you shouldn't be.
All right. Well,
I hate when they use the green and white Ramon Ayones band with a regional band and a limited band. It looks terrible.
Okay.
The contrast in
colors. You're not a big fan of the contrast in the red and the what is it, like the army green?
The red, white, the white. Red, white, and green. No, it's not crisp. It's not Christmas. Mm. I don't. It looks terrible. Just use the traditional Ramon Ayones band. That's the stick. People know it. So yeah, it's just I hate the colors. I hate the colors, and I didn't think the flavors were that good. It didn't go anywhere. And you know, the funny thing is, I was going to write a review on it.
Yeah.
And then I remembered that Catfish already reviewed it, so I was thrilled. I was like, yes, I don't have to talk about this fucking stuff. So
all right, fine. To each their own.
Yeah. That's how passionate I am about it. So, but yeah, man. So we were going to have Jose on. Who knows? He may still join us, or he might just pull a catfish. Maybe he's dealing with FDA shit. Who knows?
Maybe he's having a cigar with catfish and laughing at us.
Dude, can you imagine if Jose posted a photo of him smoking a cigar with a catfish while we were doing the show? I'd probably lose it, man. I'm eating almonds with catfish. Smoking pot. So.
Oh, man. But what else you like smoking these days, man?
I smoked that. By the way, I smoked that 2006 Diplomaticos.
Did you like it? I'm actually really interested in hearing what you're saying. Okay, why? Why
didn't do anything? 10 years. Mm-hmm. It was just. First of all, it was a little tight. The flavors I don't think were that good. Mm. Diplomaticos, I always seen as like a. All right, picture Monte Cristo as a Belgian chocolate. You know what I mean?
Okay, so good stuff.
Monte Cristo is Belgian chocolate.
Worldly known, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. Diplomaticos is like a Hershey's bar. Hmm. I feel like a Diplomaticos is like a lower priming Monte Cristo.
They're pretty good, man. I've had some really good Diplos.
I don't know, man. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. I mean, you like, is that Jose? Just kidding. So it's up there with seriously though. I'm gonna give him a call.
All right. So thank you guys for tuning in again without us basically with us lying to you about a guest we're gonna have.
Wait a minute. This is the best. Guess who's calling me? Not Jose. His New Jersey rep. Hey, Seth, it's Victor. I'm with Jose. So now I have to this. No, I kid you not. For all you viewers out there, Jose, or know who he is, this is a classic Jose moment. It's one of those. He's going to get somebody connecting. You want me to send you the link? This is what he does. He's got his little minions with him.
Well, so Steve, if you're watching, we're going to have you on the show one of these days. And please don't fuck us again and again.
Steve. He says, call him. Why am I going to call him? Yes, please. I'll forward it. This is just. I'm just,
you know,
fucking.
This is why.
I missed a call from Jose Blanco. No kidding, I missed a call from Jose Blanco. I was doing the damn show.
Oh
man, this is just.
All right, call him.
Will open his email. You know, there comes a point where I'm sorry. No, you're disinvited. I don't care. Just reached the point where is the juice worth the squeeze? And you know what, guys? I'm sorry. The juice is not worth the squeeze. So I was making the joke with June. This may be a little sensitive to some people. If you wondered why the cigar industry is failing to the FDA, here's a classic example.
God.
Go down that road, man. I had to go down that road. It's called modernization. It's called survival of the fittest. Oh. We're failing, man. The fittest are not surviving. So,
Jose, are you watching right now? Victor or whoever else just... You know,
I'm just gonna Victor. Why don't you come on the show?
Yeah, Victor.
Victor is a special guest.
He's a sales rep for Senorial.
Yeah, he's a Senorial and Fraser senior rep or Fraser. Oh,
okay,
I call it Fraser.
For both,
I call it Fraser
for MIM Jose basically.
Emma Watson.
What's that? Emma, yeah.
Victor, way,
please get
this is go. this is a classic parenting thing because I said Emma, which made me think of Emma Watson. And you have a 2-year-old chilling with you.
No.
So no. my 3-year-old loves Beauty and the Beast. So I was like, dude, I'll show her the new trailer for the new Beauty and the Beast that Emma Watson's in. I don't know if you know about this. You're not a parent, so you probably don't. But it scared the living fucking shit out of her. It was the funniest thing.
Wait, so wait, which movie?
The new Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, that's the one where they're using like a lot of CGI and like it's like human actors, right?
I don't know if it's got human actors or not. No, but either way, human actors.
Fuck, man! How many mojitos do you have today?
I had a lot of them, but dude, man, you know what you have to have is those lemon ball mojitos that I was making. So good.
So,
but yeah.
I mean, what do you want to talk about? I am saddened once again that we got shunned.
This is what happens when you talk about illegal cigars, man. You just do. You become the outcast.
Nobody gives a shit.
No one cares, man.
Well, Jose, I still look forward to seeing you, Jose. IPCPR. And I hope that when I do see you at your booth, that you would actually say hi to me.
Hi to you. And that'll make not that guy.
Yeah. And you know, because that'll make me feel better as compared to what happened today.
Oh my gosh.
And Dustin, you know,
you
wherever you are, whether you know, I hope that you someday will say hi to me. Again,
No, but let me here's some Cubans that I smoked. So the Italian one, very disappointing. Ramon Ayone Small Club Corona. Here's the question. This is a great debate in my opinion. You have the Ramon Ayone, you got the Special, you got the Gigantes, mm-hmm. and you got that Small Club Corona. I don't know about you, but don't you go back and forth between all three of them saying, oh man, no, this is my favorite size. No, this is my favorite size. Hey, Jose joined.
Whoa. Who's this?
Jose Blanco.
Oh, just a tease.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, man?
The problem.
You're 21 minutes late for the interview.
No, I know. We had a little bit of a problem with the Wi-Fi here. What's up?
Not much. How you doing? It's that New Jersey Wi-Fi, man.
Well, you know, when it's not Taylor Hammett's pork roll, who knows what's happening?
That's right. You've entered now into that great debate by living in New Jersey.
Well, I don't know. I get into that. I play on Team Bacon.
You're playing dude, Bacon's the way to go.
Yeah, because, you know, Peter Totaro and that group, Gary Roberti, they're from Pork Roll. Then you got Sanj, Matty Rock, Vic, and all those guys, Victor Totaro, Luke Torto, are playing on Taylor Ham team. So I play on Team Bacon, not to get into anything.
There you go. Well, you're back in the Estados Unidos from traveling across Europe. How was your European travels?
Yeah, we did. I did a lot of travels. It was, you know, Denmark was good. Sweden was very good. All the events in Sweden, we had 25, 30 at the event. And Sweden and Denmark are markets that are changing a lot. I mean, if you look at their social media, their Instagram and everything, they're very open to non-Cubans. Even though the Cubans still dominate a lot, but it has changed so much. And I would say that after the United States and Canada, I would say where Emma and I have more support is in Sweden and Denmark and even in Norway. But you have seen the market totally, totally change. And it's changed for numerous things, you know, the social media factor has a lot to do with it, and also because of the some inconsistency. I'm not going to say on all Cuban brands, but on a lot of Cuban brands that to be honest, you know, people are. I'll give you an example. Germany, 1995 was 80% Cuban, 20% non-Cuban. Germany right now is 65% non-Cuban, 35% Cuban. So wow. The thing is, yes, no, but you take Canada. Like if you go to the major stores in Canada, like you go to Walter DeBatista, who is the biggest retailer in Canada, it's 80-20. You go to my good friends Kevin and Julian at Victory Cigars. That's where we did the launch of Señoría last year, and we did event this year there.
That's in Toronto.
Yeah, it's 85-15.
85 non-Cuban?
85 non-Cuban. But also, you got to look at a – and I think I showed Seth the photos the last time I was there. Monte Cristo Reserva, $137. Monte Cristo A, 9.25x47. $100, even though the Canadian dollar is devaluated, but still it comes up to $70, which is a lot of money.
Wow. Yeah, especially for those Canadians. I mean, they spend it all on hockey equipment. So, so are there any brands that you would say that they think are the most inconsistent? Like, in my opinion, I have a lot of inconsistency with Cohiba. Cohiba is such a huge brand over there. I doubt they're going to complain about the Cohiba flagship brand being inconsistent. Is there one brand that they say is the most inconsistent?
You're talking about what, Canada, or are you talking about Sweden and Denmark?
Let's talk about Sweden and Denmark.
Okay. You know that a lot of people don't understand that in Sweden, you only have, it's 13 or 14 shops. Everything is done via internet, but not, you know, not discounting. There's no discounts that go there, yeah, like nor for the Cubans or for the Nicaraguans or for the Dominicans. No, no. It's a regular MSRP, what you would find, let's say, in a store in Stockholm or in, let's say, Gothenburg or in Örebro and any of those towns where we did the seminars. The same price that you see on the store, the same price you're going to get it delivered to your house, more or less that. Now, what have they complained the most about? What they complain about the most is on the regular production, the inconsistency on the draw station, that in the limited edition, they have gotten much better, the truth said. Because, you know, when you're paying 25, 30, 35 euros for a cigar, at least should have, you know, a decent draw on it. But on the regular production, and I mean, when I was there for 2 weeks, you know, you saw the pictures that I post. Some cigars, yeah, you like that I post, some others you say, why did I post that? Because you're very critical of what I smoke, but what can I do?
Wait, what were you smoking?
Huh?
Like, what were you having? Were you, are we talking like marijuana cafes and that kind of thing?
No, like, you know, I would be smoking 3-4 cigars a day, and I would say if I was there 15, I was there 15 days, let's say, I probably smoked around 60 cigars. I would say probably 30, 35 cigars were Cubans that were given to me by a lot of friends that I have there. I brought back a lot of cigars that I have them in my humidor that I haven't even smoked. But I'll give you an example. Like in Denmark, I had a Partagas Maduro that was average. And that same Partagas Maduro, I smoked it in Canada too. But in Sweden, I smoked one that was more than average. But personally, I've never had luck with any Maduros coming out of Cuba. I remember the Genios, the Mágicos, the Secretos. I mean, I didn't like them at all. All the ones that were given to me in Cuba and all the people who have sent me cigars, I gave them mostly all away because it didn't make me tick. Now, one cigar, and I told Seth about it, that really, really impressed me, and I brought three back that were given to me, was La Excepción for Italy. That cigar, I would say, was very, very good. Also, that I spoke for the first time was the Trinidad Vigia. V-I-G-I-E-A. That cigar was very, very good. I brought, they gave me some back, I brought them, and I think it's a cigar that has potential. But many other cigars, I mean, that I smoke, I mean, I smoked some Cohibas that were really plugged, new, a lot of youngness into it. The Monte Cristo Añejados, I mean, those I won't even touch anymore because I had them. I had them in Denmark, I had them in Sweden, and I had them in Canada. And they were awful. Awful.
Doesn't make you wish you were welcome.
Wait, say that again, Seth?
I said, doesn't it just, they make you wish you didn't smoke them, but it's just so bad.
Yeah, I mean,
no, yeah. If you look, but I think I even smoked, to be honest, and maybe it was one, did Hoya de Monterrey come out with an Añejado too?
Yeah, it was terrible.
I think I still have one here, and I smoked one, and I did not like it at all. But I have to say the Excepción, the Italian Excepción, really impressed me.
Are you talking about the La Excepción Don Jose, the newest release? Not the Lancero-looking one, right?
No. The one that says Italia. The one that was for Italy.
Right. Yeah, the Robusto.
Okay.
That I would recommend. And to be honest, I think if that cigar, you leave it even a year more, it will even be more interesting than anything. Hmm.
So yeah, I haven't spoken Jose, I'm looking forward to that. Jose, when you're talking about Canada and Denmark having the non-Cuban cigars and more percentage-wise, what brand of non-Cubans are out there right now?
Well, you have everything there. In Canada, you have everything. You have us, you have La Aurora, you have Padron, you have Davidoff, you have Perdomo, you have Fuente, you have Alec Bradley, huge presence. I mean, so the non-Cuban presence, I mean, even if you go to, like, Hong Kong and Shanghai, I remember, I mean, I've been there twice to Hong Kong, twice to Shanghai doing events and working something out with a company. When I went to, let's say, a lot of the places, the cigar shops in Hong Kong, I found a lot of Oliva, a lot of Fuente, a lot of Davidoff, a lot of Oliva. Aurora, even also in Shanghai with Lily Wang, who has the four shops in Shanghai and one shop in Beijing. She had every major mark there. But you know, you have a big difference in price between Hong Kong and China, Red China, because let's say a cigar would cost you, let's say, $35 in Hong Kong. You're looking at least $45 to $50 in Shanghai. Cigars are more expensive in Shanghai and Beijing than they are in Hong Kong.
It is, so it seems like a lot of the big companies, cigar companies out there, not so much of the boutique guys. Right?
Yeah, the bigger companies. But you have to remember the thing in Hong Kong. In China, there's only two companies that officially sell there. That is Davidoff and then the Cubans. And all the rest, well, you know how that works. Mm-hmm. It's a very difficult market, but it is an emerging market. And the good thing is that I remember when I was there 2 years ago, I got there on a Sunday and I called Lily and said, would you like to do a seminar on Wednesday? And she had the control, and all of a sudden she had 50 guys to go to one of my seminars. So people are really willing to involve themselves in Asia, but they don't have really anybody out there that's really doing anything to educate people. The same thing when I was in Thailand. I was in Thailand and visiting my father-in-law with Emma, and we did a seminar there, and you know, it was at a club, and it was totally packed. So the people just want to really learn more. And I think that one of the things that has really, has made it happen has been social media. I mean, I was surprised when I was in China, which I maybe have two or three Chinese friends at that time, that there were people at the seminar, 8 or 10 people that knew who I was, they knew that I had worked in La Aurora, that I was with Joya de Nicaragua, that my family was involved. They knew about my cousin, Hochi. And I asked them, how do you know those things? And they said, well, you know, when we're in Hong Kong, you know, we see Facebook, you know, we're onto the forums, you know, we're trying to be active with everything that's happening.
Nice. Power social media and that rippling free media, really.
Oh, yeah.
It's connecting the world, man. We're all connected.
Yep.
Oh yeah, look in politics. All this has happened. All the free press that Donald Trump has gotten with social media.
Oh man, Donald, Donald Trump. Yeah, the new Trinidad. That new Trinidad really brings a lot to the brand.
Which one?
The Trinidad, the Vigia that you smoked.
Oh, the Vigia. Yeah, the Vigia. It was very good. I think I smoked 3 of them during the trip, and the draw was very good. The construction, as soon as I took the cigar, I looked at the foot of the cigar, and I knew that the flow of the tobacco, of the smoke, was going to go. How many times have you seen, you take, like, it doesn't have to be only a Cuban cigar, but you see sometimes a cigar that you look at the foot out of it, and you go like, wow, I wonder if this is going to draw or not. Sometimes in a lot of cigars from Dominican and Nicaragua, you see that, but they do draw. But you know, with a Cuban cigar, you know, it's like the lottery sometimes with some of those brands.
That's kind of true. That's true.
So what have you smoked lately, Seth, that you that has impressed you from Cuba?
Oh man, that's impressed me from Cuba. Gosh, I've been struggling lately. I smoked a Ramon Iones Small Club Corona. That's a brand, Ramon Iones, that's always impressing me. It's I was talking to June before, I know they only have like three offerings in that line. But I go back and forth on all three of them just because different sizes, great offerings, awesome flavors.
Yeah, I smoked a Ramon Iones Italy. Did they make a Ramon Iones Italy too?
Oh gosh, we were just talking about that one. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Short
perfecto. Seth hated it.
What'd you think? That short perfecto? How was that? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm gonna try to check it out to see if I have it here. I'm pretty sure. I'm gonna check it out. I think it was Ramon Iones Italia, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a short torpedo.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now.
How's it? It's trolling his Instagram account.
Okay, here it is. Yes. Ramon, it was like a Petit Bellicoso.
Yeah.
It says Ramon Iones Exclusivo Italia. I think I still have one here. That was okay. It was It was good, but not as good as La Excepcion.
That's what I was saying, man. That's two in the same column as me.
Well, yeah, I can see that. Hey Jose, have you smoked much of the Cuban custom rolls that people get? Like, you know how you go to different like Cuba, La Casa de Habanos and whatnot, and they have house rollers you could buy their cigars from. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes, yes.
So I smoke a good amount of those. And I think most of it is just BS, the story that they try to kind of tell you on what it is, and they basically mark it up to what it's really not. Anyways, what's your take on those? And which ones have you had?
Look, to be honest, I've smoked the one that the woman, I don't know if she's still there, at the Hotel Nacional, and then I think it was a Coiba Meliá. There was an old-timer there that was making some Churchill 7x47, and I got some. I might even have a couple like that, one of my humidor still. I mean, look, it was good, but nothing to really, to write home.
Yeah.
About just an average cigar, an experience. Like I tell people, it doesn't matter what country you are in, if you have the opportunity to smoke a cigar, fresh off the table, smoke it. And then I tell people, if you buy, let's say, five or six of those cigars, smoke one when it's 5 or 6 days after it's rolling. You're gonna see how terrible it is, because it goes into the sick period, and all of a sudden, for people who don't know, say, well, why is the cigar when I smoked it right off the table much better than it was when I left it 5 or 6 days? Because what people understand is going through the transition of the sick period. Now, if you were to make these three exercises, you smoke it right off the table and you make notes. You smoke it with 5 or 6 days and you make notes. And then you smoke it when it's 21 days or 30 days, and you will see how different the smoke will totally be. The first thing is that on the first cigar, right off the table, you're gonna pick up on the first inch and a half, a lot of bitterness to it, but it's not bitterness of the cigar. What it is, it's the humidity that until it doesn't dry up, you're gonna have those notes. Then during the cigar that you smoke in the sick period, it's gonna be five to six days, you're going to pick up notes that are so nasty that you're going to say, what the hell is this? And then when you smoke that cigar with 21 days or 30 days, I mean, if the blend is good, then you're going to see the potential that the brand has.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had the opportunity to smoke it in those time increments, but like I remember smoking this one where so there's this custom rolls out right now that the advertisement is basically that is taken out of the El Aguito factory and they're Bojique 52s. So they're not seconds. They're literally basically five figure, you know, just somebody takes them out of the factory and they're just unbanded Bojiques. But I smoked one of those a couple weeks ago out at my buddy's place. The cigar itself looks exactly like a regular Bojique because we compared each side by side. But man, you smoked that and there was just it was flat. There was, you know, nothing to really write home about. It wasn't really bad. It wasn't certainly really good. But I've smoked some Bojiques where I felt like it wasn't really worthwhile to smoke, meaning it was kind of flavorless. And I'm a little surprised by that because supposedly Bojiques have medium tiempo in there, right? And it's supposed to be a stronger leaf and more, you know, stronger flavors and all this stuff. But I didn't get that at all.
So. Look, to be honest, I saw on Facebook the other day, I can't remember on which of the sites, some people that posted up some photos of the heat that were horrible. And the if you look at the original Bojiques, I think that all the wrappers were Visos and maybe some lower Ligeros, not so thick, because they're very oily, very dark, and very uniform on the wrappers. And I have to say that I saw some photos of high-resolution Bojiques where people were getting into an argument and saying if they were fake, and I think it was a very, very low price. That said, I think I bought back two that were given to me from Sweden that had very, very light colors. So that tells me that is a very low priming of a wrapper. And what happens is, look, the Cubans, they want to sell cigars, and they know that all the Bojiques and all the Romeos they make and all the Cohibas that they make, you know, they're going to sell them. It doesn't matter if they put our plantain wrappers on them because it's, you know, it's the name. Yeah. It is what it is.
That's a nice character, those plantain wrappers. Man, I love those plantain wrappers.
Yeah, I get a nice banana sweetness to them.
They do. A nice fruity character overall. I mean, and I know there's been the conversation just because of the storms, and this is, you know, that have affected Cuba, and obviously they don't have the ability to age tobacco the way the Dominican Republic does. But how is the Dominican Republic, I mean, Hochi, was he, the storms that hit Cuba, how did the DR handle it? How did Hochi handle it?
How does he handle what? I'm here, question.
I know Cuba was struggling with the tobacco just because of the hurricanes that hit. So it was expected for us to have a bad couple of years with Cuban cigars. You know, was the DR, how's the DR affected by it? How is Señorial or any of those brands affected by it?
No. Nothing has been affected because, you know, we, in our case, in the case of the big companies, you know, everybody keeps on keeping 3 to 4 years of inventory. You have companies that keep 5 or 6 years to inventory. I mean, I don't want to mention companies, but, you know, there's big companies that keep a huge inventory. The problem is that this year, we all know that Cuba had a very bad year because they had a huge drought. The crop in Dominican Republic this year, I would say, would be around to 85% to 90% of what was expected. But like in our case, Hochi could go like 3 or 4 years without buying a leaf or wrapper, binder or filler, and we can continue to make the 7 million cigars we make. The same thing with Davidoff, with Fuente, with companies like Padron, Hoya. I mean, there's a lot of companies that keep a lot of inventory, and when, even though it has a cost to keep all that inventory there, but that is one thing that guarantees you the consistency, the quality. And like I said, you know, all around the world, you know, anybody can make a great cigar one time, But to continue year after year after year to really come up and make the same cigar or try to keep it as close as possible, the only way you're going to achieve that is, you know, having a big inventory of tobacco.
Yeah. That's the truth. That's why first runs are always the best.
So Jose, I wanted to ask you about more of your trip to Europe, to Denmark and all that. So can you tell me what the cigar culture is like over there and what kind of questions do they ask you a lot about?
Look, in the seminars, it doesn't matter if I'm in Denmark or I'm in Sweden or I'm in Spain or I'm in Macedonia or China. It is the same questions. First of all, the misconceptions that people have all over the world. I can guarantee you, in my opinion, that probably over 90% of the people do not know how to smoke.
Oh, wow.
When I say smoke, to really evaluate a cigar, to go into detail of a cigar. There's a lot of people that are smoking the same two or three brands. You take away those bands for them and you give them to them, and the majority of people cannot identify with them. And why has that been one of the cases? Because to be honest, our industry has not taken the time to educate people. Look, and I mean, Seth has seen how I do the seminar. I'll give you an example. In one of the seminars in Sweden, we had 38 guys. And those guys, they're pretty good, and they get a lot of correct answers. Did any of them get all the wrappers? No, absolutely nobody in any of my seminars has gotten all the wrappers. It's never has happened. There's people who get three, and there's...
I got all the wrappers.
All the wrappers? I think you got inside information on that one.
Yeah, whatever.
Seth, you got... Stop trying to be all high about it.
What's up? I got all the wrappers. No inside information.
Did you get all the wrappers? I don't remember. Maybe you're one of the few. Because to be honest, there's a couple of people who have gotten the first. Okay. There's a lot of people that have gotten the first wrapper, which is the most difficult in Indonesia. But they screw up with Mexico. They screw up with Havana. But what I'm saying is people really want to learn. And if you look at, you know, what we did on Cigar Federation, there's still people that are, you know, are buying the kit to do it. Because last week I had two guys from Houston, and they didn't get the instructions. So they inboxed me on Facebook, and I told them how it was. So that tells you, I mean, Cigar Federation, I think, sold over 300 of those kits. When I did it with my buddy Kevin Page at Butthead Cigars, we had, I think it was 38 states, and we had that night 11 countries, plus we had 60 people at the store. So that night the audience was around 500 people or 400 and something people doing the event. So that, what does that tell you? That people really want to learn. But to be honest, there's nobody out there with very rarely exceptions. Of the last 29 days that I was traveling, I did 27 seminars. I was in my house for 48 hours. And I traveled during almost 4 weeks.
Wow. And there's still demand on top of all that.
No, there is demand, Jim, and more than anything else, you know, people will ask you, you know, about the different types of seeds. They will ask you about curing. They will ask you about fermentation. They will ask you, and I tell people, one of the biggest confusions that consumers all over the world have is they tend to confuse flavor with strength. You can have a mild cigar that's full flavor, just have a strong cigar that's strength, strength, strength. Unfortunately, in our country, in the majority of parts of the world, when you ask somebody to describe you a full body cigar, the description they give you is a cigar that almost grows hair on your chest. That's not a full body cigar. That is a strong cigar. A full body cigar, in my opinion, I could be wrong, is on a scale of 1 to 10 where the flavor is absolutely 8 to 10 and then you're 8, 8.5, maybe even 9. But when you have more strength than you have flavor, the strength overlaps the flavor, and it just makes a strong cigar. It's like people confuse body with strength too. People do not understand the part of the complexity, the part of the balance, the part of the finish. The majority of people hear the term finish, and they think you have to smoke the whole cigar to know about the finish. And half an inch into a cigar, you're going to know if it has a long finish, a short finish, no finish, or a horrible aftertaste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I went to Omar's Fratello event where Omar was actually here a couple of days ago. And, you know, when customers come in, there are so many guys that will just say, I want something full body. And I think what they really mean is, and when Omar asked about him, they'll basically say, I want something to blow my head off, and something that's really strong, and, you know, compounded by, you know, something that's at least a Toro size or oftentimes a 6x60. But I mean, that's the majority of just B&M smokers that I have around here. And I don't even think people want to learn about flavor. I'm not sure, because there's so many guys that just wants to power puff on a cigar and just feel the nicotine. Which is completely what that cigar is not about, of course. So,
but to be honest, that is a very small majority of people. A minority of people that want that really, let's say, that pepper or that spicy, really full body blast. You know, you never hear anybody talking about cigars that with Connecticut wrappers, but still, our industry is 50% Connecticut and mild. But nobody ever talks about Macanudo or Romeo or this or that. They're only talking about the Pepins of the world and
well, it's because that those are the guys. Things like those guys aren't on social media. I mean, it's you got to break down the cigar consumers, you know, in terms of social media. And the social media aspect is a lot of the boutique and those guys. While the majority of the cigar smokers aren't on social media sharing what they're smoking. They're smoking the Romeos and the Macanudos and all that stuff.
That's the majority. But going back to what June said, look, it doesn't matter what part of the world are, people really want to learn. Now, the one thing that I have learned is that you have people that it doesn't matter who's in the store. It could be me, it could be Sock, it could be Jonathan, it could be Carlito. They don't care. Those guys just want to go into the shop, buy a cigar, smoke it there or leave. Then you have the guys that are on social media, and you know you have people that are just simply on Facebook and post a cigar. Those are passionate cigar smokers, but those are not cigar geeks. And really, the cigar geeks at all the events that you go, you know, there'll be 8 or 10 of them, you know, picking your brain, asking you about that. Some will even tell you what to do, and you know you got to take it with a grain of salt.
Oh man, it's the way it goes. So my opinion on Europe is that the European market, is a flavor they're looking for, something that's more flavorful and balanced. And that's how my perception of the European market has always been. Am I correct in that, Jose?
No, you're. I definitely I see more in the European market. Of course, you're going to have some fans of the LFD and some JDN and some really fuller or not fuller body cigars, but really strong cigars. But the majority, you take Germany. Is very, very into Dominican cigars, very much into mild, creamy cigars. But the majority of people are really, I would say, overall, they're looking for flavor. They're looking for that medium plus, not really overpowering smokes. I would say that people are more tended to smoke stronger and fuller body cigars in the States than they are in Europe. And I would even try to say that even in Canada, I think there's more a direction of more fully body, stronger cigars than Europe. But also Europe by countries too.
Yeah. I also think that, well, maybe this isn't so right, but based upon what you were saying earlier about how there's more non-Cuban brands out there now, but I think we have in the U.S., we have such a spoiled palate, because when I get the sense that when you talk about Europe and, you know, want a more milder cigar and more flavor forward and that kind of a thing, I think a lot of people over there think that that is the Cuban side that they're thinking about. Whereas, in my opinion, in the U.S., smoking so many more different countries of different cigars, I could still get, you know, mild and a lot of flavors, but that's very non-Cuban, but still, you know, very flavor forward. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying?
No, totally agree. But, you know, one of the biggest misconceptions that you hear, and this is the lack of knowledge. You ask the average cigar smoker, define me Cuban cigars. You know what's the first thing that comes to their mind? Strength, which is not true. Mm-hmm. There is no cigar, no cigar made in Cuba has been or will be made as strong as, let's say, a Flor Dominicana Doble Ligero, a Antaño 1970. Yep. A Dark Orojo from Hoya. Those cigars, there is nothing even close in Cuba to that. Now, to me, what has been the most consistent and strongest cigar always with the Cuban has been Bolivar. But you ask the average people, what is the strongest cigar the Cubans make? Oh, they say, oh, the Cohiba, the Splendido, the Romeo this, the Partagas D this. No. This, I could be mistaken. But to me, at least that's one thing that the Cubans have kept, is the consistency and the strength level of that. I would just, to me, I would define like a Bolivar Belicoso Fino, like what I would consider a truly full flavor, full body cigar, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's why a lot of guys that smoke non-Cubans, when they smoke first their Cubans, a lot of them will go after Bolivar as a marca in general, because it suits their palate more than, you know, like certainly something like Hoyo, let's say. Totally. To this day, I love Bolivar Belicoso Finos and Royal Coronas, and Seth and I talk about those all the time. They're great cigars, and those are one of the ones where you could just buy a box of them, and you know it's going to be good. You don't have to deal with all this nonsense of, you know, consistency. They're pretty consistent.
But still, a year will help it out a lot.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
So Jose, here's the question. Here's your challenge. You have to pick one wrapper. This is the wrapper you're going to use on a blend that is going to appeal to the American market, maybe the European diverse market, and also those passionate guys who just smoke Cuban cigars. What is the wrapper you would choose? What is the wrapper that can speak to all three of them?
Great question.
Thank you.
That's a great question. To be honest, would probably have to be, but probably from Oliva Tobacco, a Havana, Ecuador.
Why?
Or, but it's not the same as it used to be, probably Sumatra, Ecuador. Now, if it were my choice.
I was going to say Ecuador and Sumatra. Huh? I was going to say Ecuador and Sumatra. That's what I would use, old Ecuador and Sumatra. Yeah. Well, what's your choice, Jose?
No, the problem with Ecuadorian Sumatra is, to be honest, it's not the same as it used to be. And I don't want to mention companies. But you can't make really a really – you could probably make a cigar that on strength, maybe you can accomplish 6.5 or 7 with it. Even though I don't use it, my favorite wrapper still is Cameroon.
Yeah. Cameroon's a good Cameroon, rapper, man.
Cameroon from Africa, not Cameroon grown in Ecuador, which is good. but Cameroon from Africa is spicy and sweet. And Cameroon from Ecuador is spicy and earthy.
Yeah. When would you say that? When would you say that? Yeah, let me just finish this. When would you say Ecuador and Sumatra rappers? Because I know what you're saying, because Ecuador and Sumatra rappers have gone downhill. Because I remember when they were, I loved them. I loved Ecuador and Sumatra releases, and you haven't seen many in a long time. When would you say that they began going downhill?
I would say probably 4 or 5 years ago.
I was going to say 2010, 2011. I think Hadley Grange by Crown Heads is probably one of the better ones. I think EP Creo did some really good ones too, but there haven't been many good ones since then.
Ernie is a big fan of Sumatra, Ecuador, and Ernie, you know, and I are close friends, and when Em and I used to live in DR, we used to go there a lot, spend mornings, sometimes whole afternoons with Ernie going over and looking at that. And, you know, he has been looking, when I was there last year, looking at different suppliers for it. But to be honest, it's not what it is. I haven't seen in the last couple of years, and I know that Damian and that group, the island group has been growing some Sumatra there, but I don't want to give an opinion without seeing it. Because what a lot of people don't understand is that that Sumatra, if I'm not mistaken, the first family to really grow that there was the Olivas. And the first very, very successful cigar that had that was the VSG.
Yeah, VSGs, VSGs are not what they used to be, in my opinion. But that VSG many years ago was very good, very, very good.
Yes, that's a great cigar.
What are some good versions of African Cameroon? That's good. I don't think I've seen that many out.
Oh man, the La Aurora Preferida Amber and Lanceros.
There's just that you could get right now that's good is probably a better question.
The company that gets the best Cameroon wrapper in the world by far is Fuente. The Metafella, the number one suppliers, or let's turn it around, the Fuentes are the number one buyers of Cameroon tobacco from the Metafel family in Cameroon. Because you hear people talking about Cameroon, but really true Cameroon is from Cameroon, Africa.
Yeah. Which is Sumatra seed grown in Cameroon.
I didn't hear you.
It's Sumatra seed, but they've grown it in Cameroon. Correct?
Yeah. And one of the things is that you take like Habano, Ecuador, grown in Ecuador, and you take like Habano fillers or Habano eyes by Plasencia and other different types of, different companies, you will see a lot of similarities on the wrapper, but you will see that the taste profile on the different tobaccos, because of the soil content, the pH, and all those things, is going to be totally different. But I like the Havana seed a lot. I was never a fan of Havana 2000. Never, never, never a fan of Havana 2000.
I don't think I've found many people who are that rapper, in my opinion, but I've never been a fan of it. So if you can make a really good cigar with either Sumatra, authentic Cameroon right now, quality wrapper, which one would you choose?
Oh, that's a tough one.
It's a doozer.
It depends what I want to create on it. I mean, if I were to go more for the, the body will probably be the Sumatra. And if it would be more or less towards the medium, very flavorful, very rich, with that sweet nugmet notes, and sometimes some notes of really dark espresso would probably be with Cameroon.
Well,
good, you should make it. Rappers are really good, man. You should make it. You should do it.
You should do it.
It's the word on the street there, Jose.
What's the word on the street?
You got to do it. Release it to Europe.
Why do you think so many people are using Mexican San Andreas and all that? Is that rapper just like grown a lot more than some of the other stuff and is price attractive?
That rapper has been on fire for the last 4 or 5 years.
No, why is that?
That rapper has been used for many, many years, but now in the last 4 or 5 years, I think one of the ratings helped it a lot. I think it was when the Aroma de Cuba Mi Amore, I think, got the number 3 cigar of the year, right? It was a Mexican San Andres rapper. But then I think, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know, Pete came up with something with Mexican San Andres. I'm not sure. But I know Pepin uses it. Hochi has been using it for a long time. He buys the whole crop from one of the Torrent cousins, and they separate it. Our Señorial Maduro, which, by the way, is doing very good, uses San Andres.
That's a 5-year-old rapper, too, isn't it?
5-year-old rapper, yes. 5-year-old rapper. And that is a rapper that... Look, San Andres rapper has a nice earthiness and has a nice sweetness to it. And it harmonizes very well. Just remember how well Freya has done, and when Emma did it, she started off totally reverse, and she started off with the Mexican San Andres because she loved it so much. And then when she started doing her old blend, she took it from that. She did something that nobody ever does. Or we start with fillers, or we start with wrappers. Her idea was to start with a binder and work around it, and has been amazing. The results on that. Very, very unique.
So I got another question for you, Jose. So you were talking about, like, you know, how you do your seminars and educating people and seeing kind of, you know, what kind of questions folks have. So, you know, on the manufacturing side and on the kind of like the brand owner side, how much information do you think the cigar company should put out for the consumers to better educate them?
I don't think, June, to be honest, I don't think it's so much the information that they put out. Well, it's this wrapper, this binder, this filler, and it's 2 years, 3 years, and it's medium to full, and it has notes of this, that, and the finish is blueberry muffin, whatever they want to say.
Love blueberry muffin finishes.
But at the end of the day, if you've been to a seminar, you know, done by Henke Kettler, done by Benjamin Menendez, even what Saka's doing with his sobremesa, you know, talking about it, you know, what I've done, I think I've done 850, maybe now close to maybe 900 seminars in all these years. I think that's more important than anything else. You know, if the companies would sit down and say, you know, this blend has this, 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 and that, but really, do companies go and go through the whole nine yards? Okay, you know, the fermentation is about this, this, and that. You know, the curing is this, this, the selection of the leaves is this, is this. When I start working on a blend, that's a question I get a lot. Like, when you start working on a blend, what size did you start off with? I said it all depends. It could be a Corona Gorda, or it could be a Robusto. So what goes through your mind? And the first thing I go is, because I made so many blends, is not to try to make anything that I made or try to replicate anybody who does. How many times have you guys met somebody from a new company and you ask them, okay, so what are you looking for with this? Oh, I want to make a cigar like Pepin, or a cigar like Padron, or a cigar for La Aurora, or a cigar like Jose Blanc. And, you know, I don't tell them anything. But in my mind already, what comes to me is that cigar is already made. Why would I want to make something, try to go after something that somebody else has made? So I definitely, you know, talk about that too. I tell people, look, you have to be original. You have to be creative. Try to work with different tobaccos. Look at different sizes. Take your time. it's a lot that goes into making a blend. I'm surprised when I hear people say, well, I was in DR or Honduras, Nicaragua, and I got a blend made in 3 days. Well, you know what? You're a genius then.
Oh, like, man. Just kidding. I just smoked something out of the Asian room, and I picked it. I bought the whole thing.
Because it takes time. It takes time. You can't do a blend in, you know, like in a week. Now, if you go down there and they have already blends made and you like that blend, I mean, nothing but that. But, you know, do you come up and make a blend? It takes time.
No.
It does. My Drew State blend in our blend did in like 30 minutes. Best cigar ever. It's all.
Yeah, you're a genius.
Exactly. Oh, geez. So Freya did well, and Freya did well in Denmark and Sweden. They opened up the boxes, and Bognar was playing. It got their old Viking souls, blood flowing.
The Viking soul, it was amazing. It was amazing. They play Wagner. And to be honest, and you know, a lot of people, you know, they come up to me and say, oh, I like Freya more than I like Señorial. And you know what I tell a lot of people? Well, I also like Freya more than Señorial. I'm not going to lie about it. I mean, Freya is very, very unique. And you take like the Corona and you take the Toro, which I'm not a really big fan of Toros, but that Toro smokes like a dream. And I mean, you have to look at, like, at the events that we go to, you know, at all the events, you know, Freya, if we do 20, so let's say we sell 20 boxes in an event, there's going to be at least 8 or 10 boxes of Freya sold. So if you look at it for a brand that's only been out there for a year, it has a big following. And then, of course, in Sweden and in Denmark and in other countries also, I mean, it's done well. But at the end of the day, it's because it's a great cigar. I don't care what anybody says. It's all about making a great cigar.
Oh, yeah.
It is. It's about
I think most people are smart enough to buy a cigar that's good. At least I hope.
Well, I don't know about that. I think a lot of people out there also buy their freaking bands out of cigars. I think a lot of people do that.
No, I agree with that. And that's what I said, that there's a lot of people, if you were to take the bands away from them, they couldn't, and there's some of let's say they have 3 cigars they really like, you take the bands off them, and I don't think they can say this is this brand, this is that brand, and that brand. A lot of people smoke the bands. And one of the things that I do is one of the first things that I do, it doesn't matter what cigar it is, I take off the band.
No.
Taking it off and smoking what you're smoking.
Yeah. Well, plus, that way you get to concentrate and look in the wrapper and the actual cigar instead of, I don't know, I'd rather look at that than look at some band that says whatever. But I'm probably one of the minorities in that.
You're a minority. Jose, man, you have to change a battery on that smoke detector, man.
Why?
Is that a beeping? Some of the smoke detectors beeping.
No. It's not here.
Man. You just make sure you turn your damn Cubs game off when we're live on this show.
I already turned it off. We won. We're good.
The Cubs are doing great.
Cubs are doing fantastic, man. No. Cubs are doing phenomenal. You're a Yankees guy. Yankees ain't doing too well, Jose.
You know what's crazy about me being in the Bay Area? We got
the Yankees.
Oh, go ahead, Jose. Sorry about that.
No. I said no. The Yankees are doing terrible. No, nothing. the Yankees are doing terrible. You were gonna ask me something, June?
No, I was gonna say in the Bay Area, which is where I'm at in California, we got San Jose Sharks in Stanley Cup, and then we got the Warriors, that's in the finals. It's good to be California.
Oh, yeah, but the Giants are in last place, and I guess my buddy Robbie Ross is suffering here a lot.
Well,
Oh, well.
Still Robert early to live with it.
Right, Seth?
Hey, man, Rob's got to live with it. I thought their Giants were doing better than that. Maybe no, Giants are like first and then West. Giants are doing well. Not as good as the Cubs.
I thought they were.
They're doing well.
I thought they were last place.
Nah, they're ahead. They're leading. They're leading their division, their conference, or whatever the hell it is. So, what else is new with you, Jose? How's the cigar world?
Well, with the biggest battle we have is the FDA. I mean, to me, it's so heartbreaking to see that we have not been capable of getting a petition of 100,000 signatures. We post photos on Facebook of all the stupidest things in the world, and the most important thing that we have is to sign that petition, to call your senator, to call your congressman, to support the CRA, to support your local brick and mortar shop, and we don't do it. And I can tell you something, when I was in New England, we had, I would say, an average of 25 to 30 people in all the events. And Mike Ferraro and me, in all the events, I talked about the CRA, I talked about the petition, I encouraged people to sign. We had CRA ambassadors there signing up people. We would take people's phones, go to the cigarrights.org website, put in the zip code for the people to send the email. We had shops putting up their laptops also. But still, we had people who said, no, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Well, the same thing we thought many, many years ago, that Florida was, who would have thought 10 years ago that Florida would have a smoking ban? Look, all this FDA thing is totally, totally, totally hurtful to our industry, but more than anything else, hurtful to our rights. If you can die for your country at 18, you should be allowed to smoke and drink at 18. There are so many things out there that are so damaging, which the FDA has control of. Look at a commercial. Oh, this is good for your heart, but you can get backaches, diarrhea, headaches, go blind, but still the FDA has a prescription for it. But what's even worse is the hypocrisy of trying to legalize marijuana. When have you ever seen somebody go into a cigar shop, smoke two cigars, get on the highway, and kill 10 people? But yes, with three joints of marijuana, that could happen. And that is what has many people like me and many manufacturers. Plus, what is the impact going to be in Mexico, in Costa Rica, Honduras, Nicaragua, Peru, Brazil, Ecuador, Dominican, in all the countries that grow tobacco? Do we really need to make more enemies in this country? We're hated probably in 80% of the world. Closest neighbors is the Caribbean, but people don't see it like that. It is all hypocrisy.
Yep.
Preaching to the choir, man.
Yeah. I mean,
I know what you're saying. It's tough.
Yeah,
I know. June needs to go get dinner for his family. I'd be glad to talk about it with you, Jose. We haven't.
Yeah,
talked,
I'm sorry, guys. I got because I actually have my family from Maryland and Hong Kong here, and I got a jet and go grab food for them. But thank you again for coming on the show, man. I'll see you at the trade show, and it's always great talking to you.
Of course, June. Always great talking to you, brother. You take care. But you should just feed them McDonald's. Order McDonald's. Give them McDonald's.
Fuck it. Just get hamburgers for them at McDonald's.
Big Macs and chicken nuggets, man. Jose, right, I'm gonna sign off the show, man. But it's blood embargo coming to a conclusion. But I still want to talk to you.
Yes.
Adios.
Good night.